Good morning, Thunder Bay. You are now dialed into the Thunder Wolves sports feed.
Well, good morning, and welcome to this November 5th edition of the Thunder Wolves sports feed here on CLU Radio 102.7 FM and LURadio.ca. Cross-country running history was made last week. 15 years in the making, in fact. I'm going to have OUA bronze medalist Kevin Tree in the booth with me. He's in the booth with me right now, and we're going to get to chatting about the OUA race in just a few minutes. So we're going to talk about those details, so much more. And Coach Kip Sigsworth will be joining us in the second half of the program as well. Some big happenings there with Coach Kip. So without further ado, we'll get things rolling with some ZZ Top, since we are in Canada. Here's $10 Man. All right, getting us rolling here in Thunderbolt Sports Feed this morning was ZZ Top, or as we might say in Canada, ZZ Top, but I only say that. I heard that at they made that reference at the concert here at the auditorium in town a few years ago. But anyhow, that was Pan Am Highway Blues, and we started off with $10 Man. Anyhow, I've got Kevin Tree live and direct here in the booth. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Hugh. Thanks so much for having me again.
It's always a pleasure, Kevin, and it's no coincidence that I keep being graced by your presence here in the booth, because you just keep on doing better and better. This time, it was making Lakehead history in becoming the fourth ever Lakehead athlete to earn a medal at the OUA cross-country running race, which happened last week in Waterloo. Bronze is an amazing result. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm definitely really happy with how things went, and would have been nice to hang in there a little bit more to the end, but just got out kicked there in the last couple hundred meters. But CI's is in a couple weeks, and that's the main one, so hopefully we can go there and be a little bit sharper and ready to roll there in the last couple K a little better. So, but yeah, super happy with how it went, and I think as a team, like, we ran pretty well, maybe not quite as well as the previous weekend, but that's all right. We can go to CIs in a couple weeks and hopefully turn things around and run better from 1 to 5.
Yeah, it was a bit of almost a turning of the page altogether in the men's side of running. The Guelph team has been very dominant. They've won, I believe, 10 OUA championships in a row, and a lot of CIS banners as well. Does it sort of take on a pack mentality with us versus them in terms of everybody but Guelph against the Guelph team in the race? Does it take on that sort of mentality? Because the top three finishers in this race was Alex Wilkie of Queens, Jankowski, yeah, of Windsor, Paul, I believe,
yeah,
and yourself in third place. And you know, that's the field, and then Guelph kind of filled it up for the rest of the top ten.
Yeah,
I
they were 4 or 5, and then I think there were somewhere, I'm not sure where the rest of the three guys were, but yeah, I guess it sometimes can take on a bit of a pack mentality. Maybe not so much in the race, but certainly before and post race, it's kind of, well, yeah, like, which school is going to be able to do it, and it all, obviously you want it to be the school you run for, but sometimes it's not. But it's also kind of cool to see that a different school has really stepped up. And overall, I think the CIS is significantly deeper than it was 2-3 years ago. And maybe the top end is not quite as strong, but it's certainly, the depth is right down, almost right to 20, 1 to 20 in the CIS. So that's nice to see. And I think at the OUAs, like, maybe their top end didn't run quite as well as expected to, or maybe capable. But I think they're not quite as deep as previous years. So CIS is going to be good, and they might go down there.
And what makes it, puts a bit of pressure on them, is that they're hosting the CIS race,
yeah,
in 10 days' time. That's probably going to be at a course that they've run a lot in their time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's I'm not sure. I think that's the course they train on. That's kind of their training location, probably two or three times a week. So that's their course. They know it really well. And I'm sure everybody's going to be running really well there. So I have full expectations that they're going to be going on all cylinders to try and hold off all the other teams charging to try and take the win. So,
and in terms of the course itself, how was Waterloo's last week? I understand it was thought that it was going to be a little mucky and whatnot. How did the race turn out conditions-wise?
Conditions-wise, it was perfect. It was not too warm, not too cool, and actually the footing was pretty good. Some of the corners are a little bit sloppy, but it just makes for a little more interesting, and you got to be a little more aware. But the course itself was pretty technical. There was quite a few switchbacks and 180-degree turns, so you had to... It sounds kind of weird. It's like a... But you got to work the tangents, and because there's a lot of distance you can not necessarily take off, but if you don't run it quite as well, there's a lot of distance that can be added if you aren't working the tangents quite as well, and you try and take a corner too sharp, and you lose a lot of speed, and it's hard to get that going again. So trying to find the right line in the course is pretty important, and sometimes it's overlooked. But
well, it makes sense to me. I mean, the physics of it and the...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, using terms that might be more familiar in a NASCAR or a Formula One race.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's out of turn, because it's all, it's course and it's A to B and it's getting there by the fastest route.
Exactly. Yeah.
See, I would have thought just cut the corner as much as you can,
yeah,
but that's not the smart way to do it.
Sometimes not always, because you lose a lot of speed and it's hard to, it's all about rhythm and momentum. And sometimes if you take that corner too sharp, you lose a bit of that, and it's almost like you're trying to surge every time you come out of a corner. You have to a little bit, but trying to do it as less as you can is the best. So
burns the energy faster.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So how was the course in terms of, are all courses like 2 kilometers or so? Like, because your race is an eight kilometer race, how long is the loop that you guys run?
Yeah, so championship races are, so OUAs and CIs are 10, and Queens 2 weeks before OUAs was 10 as well, but a lot of invitationals are 8. Typically with the 10K races that we've done as a team, like OUAs and even nationals, and then nationals that were in Vancouver last year, they're typically broken into 4 2.5K loops. So it's kind of nice because you get to know the loop, but sometimes it's a little bit monotonous running it over and over, but it's good because you get to know it, and you really get to know where you are in the loop to plan out your race well. And so, yeah, that was the same setup as OUA's, 4 2.5K loops. There was kind of a starting portion that was about 200 meters long, and then you went back the same way for the finish. So you just jumped onto a loop for 2.5K about. So
okay. Yeah, because it's... obviously going to be familiar with Guelph's course this weekend. You've probably run that 2 or 3 times, mm-hmm, maybe probably more, given you're from Southern Ontario,
yeah,
perhaps. But what can you tell us about this course and how it plays to your advantage and the entire Lakehead team's advantage or disadvantage?
Yeah, I think it's been actually a couple, 3 years since we've run it. Guelph holds an invitational there early in the year, so we don't ever really get down there because it's pretty early. We're often in the States for the first bit of the season, but it's, from what I've heard, it's changed a little bit since we ran there 3 years ago. There's a pretty large hill that you normally kind of crept up the side of it, but now you go straight up it, and it's 4 2.5K loops as well. So right at the end, there's a big hill. It's, I think, a couple hundred meters long. So that's definitely a bit of a challenge, but I think it's good because being at the end of the loop, which means it's going to be also at the end of the race. And at that point, it's just kind of, that's all you got to do is get up that hill. And often it's a bit of a deterrent to some people. Maybe they shut it down a bit, maybe before you get to the top of the hill. So it's kind of whoever wants it more at that point.
It's the eliminator.
Yeah. So exactly. You have that hill to contend with that went, you know, 9.8K that you got to go up for one more time after you've been up it 3 times. So, and I think our team is pretty good. We're definitely a team that we're not super fast, but when the conditions get tough and, you know, you're in that tough part of the race when you have to really start grinding, that's kind of where we excel. So,
how does it go during a race? You sort of get a sense of one another's energy levels, and is it you and Dominic have been the top two for Lakehead for this year. Does he have a sense of, he's like, all right, Tree, just go? Because you finish a little bit ahead of him. Or when do you know when to kind of stick it out with your partner and when to blast off?
Yeah, it's hard to say. So it changes from time to time. So, I mean, at Queens, it was pretty slow through the first 5K. And one guy from Mac had broken away early, and he was getting a pretty decent gap. And at some point, you don't want to let that gap grow too much, because then it's too hard to work it down over the last 2.5K or 3K. But at the same point, Mason, Dom, and I were all running together, so I didn't really want to really go after him and blow it apart, because it's a tough balance between trying to make sure you can get the guy in the front, but also keeping the pack you have together to help keep the energy and momentum rolling for your other teammates, because their position is just as important as where I finish, because it's a team score, and that's really what it's about, mm-hmm. is how good the team can do. So sometimes it's a bit tough where you don't want to blow it apart because you have your teammates there, but then other times it's kind of, there's a group that's making a break and you don't want to let them go either. So, I mean, Dom and Mason know that, and they know that sometimes they got to do their own thing as well as I got to do my own thing. So, but it's certainly nice to have Dom and Mason up there sometimes to help roll along, and it certainly adds a lot of fuel to the fire when we're all there as a group, because it gives you a lot of confidence and a lot of like strength as a group versus being there individually.
My favorite pictures, as you know, is a photo of you, Alex Wilkie, Dylan, and Dominic.
Yeah.
Right in the thick of it there at OUA's last year, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And just has an energy about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, each runner has their own specific expression.
Yeah.
You know, you're not all the same. It's you have different looks about you, but
yeah,
it's all together.
Exactly.
How does it feel, Kevin, to be the leader of this team now? Looking back to, say, maybe when you were a rookie or a second year, I think the leader on the team at that point, if I'm not wrong, was Alistair Brown. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Alistair was here the year before I came here. That was his last year. But yeah, he was definitely one of the top guys in the team, and he had run pretty quick. He was definitely more of a track guy, but certainly pretty broad, but certainly one of the reasons I came here.
Yeah.
Because he obviously had success through the program. And but yeah, Dylan in first year was one of the leaders, and then he's battled injury sort of ever since, which is...
He's
overcome a lot of injuries, and he's hanging in there. So, but it's certainly nice to be able to lead the team and try and place as high as I can to do the best for the team. So, but yeah, it's good. And I like to do the best to try and inspire the other guys to run as fast as they can as well. So,
have you been able to impart any of the strategies, lessons, what have you, experiences that you've gotten over the past 6 or 8 months in the off season? You know, of course, for those of our listeners who didn't know, Kevin, you ran with Team Canada and Colombia and China, and I mean that's a global scale, and I mean you're seeing phenomenal, people that are going to be running in the Olympics. Have you been able to bring any of these lessons, tips, attitudes to share that with your teammates here at Lakehead?
Yeah, I think it's maybe hard to bring direct experiences, but just the fact that you got to believe that really anything can happen. If you just stay positive throughout training and throughout racing, that things are going to happen, and you're going to get your breakthrough if you keep working hard. And that's kind of the thing. Just have that belief, because I know certainly when I qualified for the team, I was just out there racing, and I didn't really have it was obviously nice that I made the team and whatnot, but that wasn't directly my goal, certainly going there. It was just that I managed to have a really, really solid race, and it's just imparted a lot of confidence on me throughout since last November. I've just kind of been rolling with that. So having the belief, and then also believing in yourself, your teammates, the training program, and then taking that belief as confidence and rolling with it in the races. So
feels good to lead, but it do you feel any pressure to succeed? Or I know this is probably my fourth or fifth interview with a runner, and what's been consistent through it all is not thinking is a strategy in running, is not thinking about anything, just giving her and knowing your body. It's almost animalistic.
Yeah. I think certainly that's a strategy. A lot of people, it's a strategy of mine that you have to turn off to a certain degree, because if you're thinking too much, then you start to question, oh, can I make it? This is too fast, this is too slow, versus just shutting down a bit and just feeling how your body reacts. And a lot of that is driven through practice and workouts and stuff like that. Just getting to know your body and having the confidence through those workouts and practices that things are going to be fine, and trust your body. So yeah, not thinking is sometimes the best strategy, but yeah, still being engaged to some degree.
You're running a race against other people, and whoever sets the pace, that's one thing that Coach Kip mentioned yesterday, is that you were leading the pack for a lot of last week, and then the three of you broke away, and then that was the top three finishers. How do you feel that strategy worked your way or not?
It's certainly something Kip and I have discussed over the past week since the race, about how leading and is maybe not the greatest thing, but I certainly wasn't trying to lead. I just kind of ended up there and was just being really relaxed and not trying to hold off anybody. Like, I was sometimes encouraging people to try and take the lead and set the pace a bit more. So, but I mean, I think it's one of my strengths to, I think maybe in the future, lead a bit more if the pace is slower. But if I'm in that position, to make sure it's an honest effort, and it's pretty hard to try and take the pop out of some of those guys' legs in the last K. So,
yes, I've heard this term, honest pace, which is to say that you're making your opposition exert a fair amount of energy, and you're sapping them a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're making sure that they're not totally fresh on the last lap.
Yeah, exactly. So that's maybe something I need to do in the future. But it's kind of cool leading though as well, right? There's a lot of energy, and the crowds are pretty good, because it was a very good spectating course, and it's just kind of nice to be able to not lead and having to really push it, but still in the same time that I know I'm like separating the group and making our pack smaller and smaller, but not really having to exert too much effort. So it's a good sign of fitness. So
now with this, the lead pack and whatnot, and you said you were encouraging other guys to maybe take the lead, is that just physical cues, or is there any kind of, for lack of a better term, trash talk on the course?
No, there isn't too much trash talk, and we get along pretty well with everybody.
It's a very collegiate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Attitude and atmosphere in those races, I mean, all sports media guys want to hype things up and turn it into some sort of a fight to the death.
Yeah.
You hate the opposition and all that, but
it's more physical cues. I think just, being really relaxed and not like other guys, if they're up there with you as well, they're just as fit. They're in the same boat. So they realize that the pace is pretty relaxed, but they're comfortable with where they are, and they don't want to do any leading either. So, sometimes, you look around and see where guys are to try and maybe encourage them. And then there was a few times I threw in a couple surges just to see who was going to respond. And, if they were going to end up closing that gap again on me a bit, or if they were just going to hang back a bit, just to try and gauge what their plans were. But, we're all pretty good friends, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. You get to know everybody, and, hanging out with them after races and stuff is pretty fun. And, we're not super close, but you get to know everybody, and it's certainly not always a fight to the death out there.
Yeah. So. All right. Well said. That's a relief. All right. We're going to take a brief pause here for some messages from the station. I'm chatting with Lakehead runner Kevin Tree and, about his bronze medal win last weekend at the OUA Championships held in Waterloo, Ontario. In the second half, we'll chat with more with Kevin, and as well, we expect Coach Kip Sigsworth to pop by the station here. Joel Plaskett with Lightning Bolt off his Scrappy Happiness album, which is a favorite of mine and a favorite of my next guest here in studio, Kip Sigsworth. Hello.
Hello. How you doing here?
Great. Happy trails seems like a bit of an understatement here right now, but there's no end to the double entendres and the pun and the running puns.
I love the puns,
Kip. I I asked Kevin a lot about the last weekend and and how maybe you could give a coach's perspective in terms of one thing I was interested in was, you know, Kevin has transitioned from being a rookie to being a very good sophomore to now being, you know, an exceptional fourth year runner.
Yeah.
And that transition, how have you seen it happen and how have you seen it evolve in the races from a confidence level, fitness level, et cetera?
Okay. Yeah, it's been a process for sure. And the one thing with Kevin is he came in and from day one, he wanted to be the best and he wanted to know what he needed to do to make that happen. And not just he wanted to know what to do. He went out and did it. And, you know, we've laughed a little bit. Like his first year at OU's, he was 41st, and we're both pretty happy with that. Like we thought that was, you know, not amazing, but it was a really solid result for him on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he indoors that year made a big jump, I think, in fitness. And then with fitness comes the mentality, right? All of a sudden you're at a different level. You're running with other people. You start thinking, you know, that I can be one of these guys that's up near the front. Second year he had a stress fracture, but, since then he's been healthy and just really put in the work. And, I think the biggest difference this year, he's definitely fitter than he was last year, but this year, you know, he goes and he runs at the front of the pack. Like he thinks he deserves to be there. He belongs there. And obviously he does. And sometimes that the fitness comes first and then the belief takes a while to catch up to think of yourself as a guy that should be there. And I think that was really obvious at OU's. He, you know, was right up there in the lead pack and often, you know, leading the lead pack, and looking really strong and, you know, like he was a guy that when the move made, he was going to be part of that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked Kevin about that leading the pack and, he said, you know, he was trying to maybe coax a few other runners into
right
setting the pace.
Take the bait.
Take the bait.
Yeah.
But how, you know, are there some veteran tricks that are still left to be revealed or put into the Kevin Tree toolkit?
Well, I don't know if I'm smart enough for tricks.
There are no tricks in running, is there?
But strategy-wise. There certainly are tactics. And I think Kevin is, his strength is his strength, which is, you know, a cliche running thing to say. But he's better if it's an honest race over 10K. And I think OU's the first six or seven went pretty slow. There's a large lead pack. I don't see that happening at CI's. I think there will be more guys there anxious to push from further out. So I don't think it'll be sort of him going to the lead and trying to see if anyone will come with him. I think there will be guys who will be interested in doing that. And, you know, all things being equal, that should play to his strengths more so than sort of a slower build up that happened at OU. So, yeah.
And it's been a very interesting, you know, evolution of his running game. I'll jump back to you for a moment, Kevin. How what do you see? You look back to your first year, let's say, and you look at an old picture or an old result, and you're like, well, I was doing good then, but I can't believe how far I've come, or like, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've maybe always had an expectation of myself to be here at this point, but it's certainly nice to see it formulate and come together over the years. And I think the consistency, like Kip said earlier, is huge. Just being able to stay healthy and put in quality sessions after quality sessions. And, but yeah, I think just a lot of confidence too, like you said earlier, I think the fitness started to come and then the confidence that I could sort of after my indoor year, the first year I started to think that this could be something and more confidence and just having the mentality of going in the race and just wanting to be with the front group and maybe not being there right away, but slowly race by race, getting a little closer. And then now kind of right up there, which is, it's great.
Yeah. Kip, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but where are you during the race? Like, you're obviously on the course somewhere, but are you...
Physically or mentally?
Both.
So I'm on the course, and it depends... It depends what the course layout is like, but I tend to, I was just watching a running video last night, and a coach said, you know, once the gun goes off, I really have no control. And that's pretty much true. I think your coaching is unlike other sports. Once the actual competition starts, there's very little you can do to control the outcome. I tend to run around a lot and to yell as much as I can. And I'm not sure that that's in any way affecting the outcome, but it helps me feel like I'm doing something. So I probably saw athletes 3 or 4 times each of the 4 laps. Like I said, I yell something that makes me feel better. And I at Nationals last year, when Kevin made the national team and had, you know, his best race ever, he was starting to come out of the lead pack, and I sprinted and caught him, and I yelled something that I thought was really good, and he got back in the lead pack, and I thought, wow, I really made a difference in that race. And afterwards I asked him about it, and he was like, I didn't hear that. I think it's as much for me as it is for them. So, I'm on the course, I'm running around, I'm seeing them as much as I can. And
I think you were probably at just about every corner. A lot of sprinting.
It's my hardest workout of the year, for sure, what I do on race day. So
that seems like a lot harder than what the other coaches are doing on game day. I mean, they might work the sideline a little bit, but they're just pacing.
Yeah.
They're just pacing if they're, you know.
I just take pacing to the next level of anxiety.
I asked Kevin this question earlier. I'll ask you to you as well. Is the difference between Kevin in his first couple of years looking to find his running identity and here on this team, and he's emerged as a leader in the last 2 years. How have you seen that? And, you know, going from, okay, I'm running this fast and I'm following him, to, okay, I have to run faster and I have to encourage my teammates to run as fast as they can for as long as they can in the race.
Yeah. I mean, last year, you said a leader over the last 2 years. Last year, he was our leader at OU's, but Dylan Brown was fourth at CI's. And we sort of had co-leaders, and Dom Aligno was in that group in terms of workouts and stuff.
Yeah, and I should say that's not fair by me to say that, because it's really, you might see 10 or 15 or 20 places between these guys, but really it's 10 seconds.
Right. Well, this year the gap has grown, and again, it's part of it is what we talked about, just consistency of putting in the work. And, you know, Dylan Brown's had some interruptions over the year and health issues, and that's obviously hurt him. The other thing is the belief that if I do the work, it will put me in this place, and just having the confidence that when you step on the line, you've done enough that you can run with anyone. So, and like I said before, it's a process. It takes time to believe that. And I think even after OU's, I wouldn't say that Kevin, you know, had a lot of doubts before OU's, but afterwards, you know, I think he sort of looked at me and he was like, you know, I could have won that, you know, and that, I think that's a big step. I don't know if, before the race, he always have doubts before the race, but afterwards he was like, man, like, I was right there. I can make that happen. So,
I mean, you'd beat Wilkie the week before, 2 weeks before at the Queen's Open, right?
Yeah.
What were the differences? Was it a difference in course? Was it just how the race was run, I guess, you know, the pace? What do you think?
I think it was as much as anything, how the race was run. So,
yeah, I agree as well. Yeah.
Because it's so hard to control, like, because coaches are so insane with control. They've got the space
madness. I have control issues.
Everybody does, man. But I mean, everybody in sports, I think, does when you're taking on the responsibility of you know, training athletes and building a successful program. There's pressures and expectations, and I mean, and a certain amount of responsibility, which I think is to most degrees a good thing.
Yeah.
like you said, once that gun goes off, there's not a whole lot you can do. You know, can you say, you know, push the pace, run faster, Kevin, or, or you know, hey, you back there, you know, you run faster.
Right. You run faster. You can kind of, it's sort of tactical things, and it's, you know, I think one thing, Dom and I have talked about this, he missed getting in the lead pack off the start, and I think that hurt him. And that might have been something that if I could have been there at that point and sort of just reminded him that you got to get in that group, it may have helped. But I mean, it's also, you know, there's 120 guys trying to get in the lead pack. So it's kind of, you know, it's not always just a matter of you go do this. It's everyone's trying to do it. And can you actually get there and do that? So,
yeah. And I know, I mean, Dom last year at CI's got a, you know, he ended the race bleeding after getting a broken foot.
Yeah.
There's no recourse there. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. Yeah. I kind of jokingly said to Kevin, you know, we're getting spiked in cross country running. There was, you know, controversy on the track last year. I'm like, when are we going to stop taking this?
Well, maybe next weekend it'll work out. The bricks will come our way. So, yeah. And I mean, you got to understand that there's, and maybe if there's one thing I do a little better, it's, I understand that there's a lot of things that I can't control and you prepare yourself as best you can. And Kevin and I, or myself and most of my athletes, like, we don't have a very specific race plan before. The race plan, I think, before OU's was, you know, read the race and react to it.
Yeah.
Because I think the more you try to say, okay, there's so many variables that are out of your control, and the more you try to say, you have to run this way, well, if that's not working, then
panic a bit.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, my plan is totally out the window. What do I do? So, it's I try to be very loose and you know, certainly at this point with Kevin, he knows what he needs to do. He doesn't need me to, you know, we maybe bounce some ideas off each other at the start, but he knows how he feels on the day. He knows what's happening in the race, so he's got to have control and be able to do what he thinks is best.
Yeah, it really strikes me as just an instinct, like a sport that's instinct. It's animalistic, if that's the right word. You know, you're a pack and you're racing to finish, and you know, there's all thinking for the most part is just out the window. And
I would say the less you can think, the better off you are.
Yeah,
and is that gets in the way?
And is that widespread? You know, is there a different school of thought? Not that we want to be confusing anybody. A week before the race, I'm just out of personal curiosity.
Well, I think yeah, people look at it different ways. I think, you know, I've heard other athletes who have very, very specific race plans. You know, it's you're going to surge on the hill on lap 4, you know, or you're going to run with this particular person. And I think as with any different program or different coach, there's different styles, and you know, you gotta go with what works for you and your group, as opposed to necessarily one is better than the other. So
we've got a few minutes left here. Kevin, anything come to mind that Kip and I are discussing here?
No, not really. It's nice to have, we were talking about him earlier, being around the course a lot, and it's nice to sometimes early in the race when things are a bit relaxed, like at OU, sometimes it goes through my head like, wow, he was just like there like 5 seconds ago and now he's at this corner. Like, how do you move so fast? Like, and then, but yeah, sometimes later in the race when things start to get tough, it's nice. He says some things, and sometimes I might not remember them. I kept in Vancouver last year, but certainly they do register with me, and it's nice to hear it, to know that, you know, it's not totally going to the bottom of the pit. Like, there's still
the
opportunities
pits.
There.
Yes.
So yeah, it's nice to be able to hear some encouragement along the sides from your coach.
All right. No, because it's not like the Tour de France where there's a lead pack and you can be on a little mini bike riding beside the
Yeah.
Or in the tour they have
feeding them water and stuff.
They have,
headset.
The headset where they're actually the coach is talking in their ear constantly. So that's it's not happening.
It's not a reality in Canadian cross country running or any cross country running.
No.
And I'm glad it's not.
Now, speaking of cross country running in a grander scale, I know we plan on announcing this a bit later, and there will be more details to come out a later date, but we might as well get it out there now since we've got you in air, on air, Kip. And that is, of course, you have been chosen as the coach for the Canadian team attending the FISU Games in Italy in March.
Correct. Yes.
How did that come about, and how does it feel?
It's a huge honor. I'm super excited. And basically, it's CIS coaches and CIS athletes are the ones that make up that team. So there's a call for application for the head coach position either late summer, early fall, and I applied. And this is not the first time I have applied. And just the night before OU's, Friday night before OU's, I got an email saying I'd been selected. It's individually for me, it's a big honor, but I think it's a reflection of the program. You know, a coach is only as good as the program, and it's the fact that Lakehead has got some, a bit more of a reputation and it's a bit more known, and we've had some really solid results in the last few years. So I think it's a reflection of how far our program has come, and I'm excited to go over there and be part of it.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about it with you. I'm sure we'll have another chance to hash that out a little bit more. Yeah. And of course, I should mention again, I mean, this isn't totally out of left field here. You were OUA Coach of the Year. Was it last year or the year before?
It might have been
two years ago?
20, I think it was 2012.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow.
You don't have to keep track of these accolades as such. It's always forward with you runners.
Yes, exactly.
Forward thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Any final thoughts heading into CIs? I mean, how's the rest of the team looking? We've got Kevin here in studio, but I think it's only fair and right to mention that, this is a team process, and we've got six, seven other guys that have been working hard as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think have run to our potential so far this year as a team. I think we ran pretty well at Queens, and we ran okay at OU's. And I think we can run better, and I think the best is yet to come in terms of CIs. And I think we're at a good place. The guys are, OU's is kind of always stressful because you got to run well to get to CIs, but I think the guys are excited to try to go there and, sort of show some people what we can do and where we're at in terms of the national rankings.
It must be a challenge for you because you're coaching a team, but it's a team of, people that are running a race individually, and they all have idiosyncrasies that make them different from each and every athlete that you've ever coached over your career.
Yeah.
How do you face those challenges of motivating five different hearts and minds on race day, or six different,
You do have to realize that everybody is different and they're all individuals, and there's things that generally work and you try to get, people sort of close to on the same page. But the more you get to know the athlete, the more races they run, the more things you try, and hopefully when it matters, you have it figured out and it works.
All right. That makes sense to me. But I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, the thing is, you have seven guys running, and it's very rare that you have seven all run their best on the same day. So it's always, it's always sort of bittersweet. Some guys run really well and you're excited, and then some guys don't run, and the sort of the goal is to get as many as possible collectively firing on the same day. So
bit of lightning in a bottle there. Mm-hmm. There's really only a handful of teams that can do that, have been consistently capable of doing that.
Yeah.
And one of them, it's been suspected, may not meet their glory on home on their home track next.
Well, I will say this: weekend. I think Guelph is certainly still the favorite. They yeah. still won OUs, but it is much more interesting this year in that I think there are four teams that could win CIs, and so it'll be, you know, the last several years it's sort of been a foregone conclusion and teams have been running for second, so
yeah,
it'll be exciting.
All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Any predictions? You guys placed fifth, I believe, last year at CIs in a hurricane there on St. John's, Newfoundland.
Sixth? Yeah. Sixth, yeah.
What's your goal this weekend, next weekend, I should say, if you finish?
I think if we run like we can, I think we could battle for the fifth spot. But I think there's three or four teams. I mean, we could run really well and probably be eighth. So, but somewhere in that range.
All right. Well, thanks once again for coming on the show, fellas. Thanks, Kip. Thanks, Kevin. And best of luck next week.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Coach Kip Sigsworth and OUA bronze medalist Kevin Tree.